Curious Minis, the weekly minisode of Galaxy Not So Far Away, where we talk about new events and new books and all the goings-ons at Mysterious Galaxy Bookstore. I'm your host, Gary.
And I'm Becca.
And it is September 8th. We're a week into September. What is happening? We don't have a lot of events this week, which is nice. The last 2 weeks, we've had an event, like, literally almost every single day, so this one will be a little bit more of a quiet week for us, which should be nice.
Yeah, it'll rear back up next week.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A whole bunch of events then. But
whole bunch of events. We've also got, like, a super secret pre-order campaign that's being announced today. So if you're listening to this, like, first thing Tuesday morning, keep an eye on our social media because we're announcing something there, but I'm not going to talk about it. That was just confirmed for us, the booksellers. So
yeah,
it's going to be fun.
We get to know, but you don't. Not yet.
Yeah, not yet. You gotta stay tuned for that. But yeah, we should just, like, launch right into it.
Oh, yeah. So on, gosh, Wednesday.
I think it's Thursday.
No, Thursday.
Yeah.
Where am I? at 7 p.m., we are going to have a live stream with Jo Kaplan for her debut novel, It Will Just Be Us. It is described as marvelously atmospheric, emphatically suspenseful, and beautifully written.
The actual, like, title page on our website says it's a terrifying new gothic horror novel about two sisters in a haunted house that never sleeps, perfect for fans of Shirley Jackson's We Have Always Lived in the Castle.
And I mean, if you guys listen to our Mallory O'Mara episode.
Oh my god, yes.
We have some Shirley Jackson fans among us.
We absolutely do. This sounds really fun. It's, like, good, grim, dark.
And I love the cover. It's so spooky.
Yeah.
And then...
I dig it.
What is our other...
Our other event is going to be on Friday the 11th. This one's going to be at 5 o'clock Pacific time rather than 7, also on Crowdcast. Julian Winters is going to be in conversation with C.B. Lee discussing his book, The Summer of Everything. Which just sounds like a fun, like, coming-of-age YA story.
Yeah.
Which is really fun. I think both of these books, for the Jo Kaplan and for Julian Winter's books, I think we're doing signed or personalized book plates.
Yes.
So if you want to get those, make sure you leave a comment in the order description. Or notes. Order comments. When you place your order on our website.
And then the last thing, we won't, like, go super into detail about it, but... because my friend Judy runs the event.
Yes.
On Sunday, every second Sunday of each month, we are back to doing the Romance Book Club. And, oh gosh, what are they? It looks like they're going to be discussing.
So I think that September's is Real Men Knit. And then for October, they're going to be doing The Widow of Rose House.
You are absolutely right.
So if you guys
haven't joined Romance Book Club, like, definitely pick up the book. We have two in the store right now that you can add to your cart on the website and, you know, pop in. Judy is absolutely delightful.
She's so sweet. Every time I've met her in the store, she's been a delight.
I could go on and on, but I won't.
Fair. That's fair. But yeah, that's it. That super light week this week. Very, very easy with events, which means we just have books to talk about.
Yes.
Do you want to start? Do you want me to start?
I'll start.
Yeah. What's your first book?
The first book I'm going to be talking about is the new book by Rebecca Schaefer. It is the third in her Market of Monsters series.
Yes.
And it is the end of the, oh gosh, what is it called? The Not Even Bones trilogy in this series. It's been described as Dexter, the series meets Victoria Schwab's work.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know too much about it since I haven't read the series, but I guess what I will tell you is Nita, who I believe is the main character, must team up with Covet to take down the most dangerous man in the entire world, which just so happens to be the father of Nita's, like, ultimate betrayer, Fabricio.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes. I might have picked it because we share a name and I am very into myself.
That's fair. That is allowed. The first one I want to talk about is Bone Shard Daughter by Andrea Stewart. We did an event for this one with Brent Weeks. God, I guess like 2 weeks ago now, which was very fun. Very fascinating magic system. I've only read like the first two chapters, so I'm not very far into it yet, but it's an empire controlled by bone shard magic, which allows them to like power these animal constructs that are used to like maintain law and order in the society. But the emperor is dying. His rule is failing and revolution is starting to sweep across the empire. The main character, Lin, is his daughter and like wants to be claimed, declared the heir, but he hasn't chosen her yet or given her that privilege. So she's trying to teach herself bone shard magic so that she can prove that she's worthy of becoming the next like leader of the empire. But when revolution reaches the gates of the palace, it becomes a lot more problematic than that.
Yikes.
Very excited. I'm, you know, I talked about it at length last week when we did the historical fiction podcast episode, but I'm so much more of a fan of the like high fantasy. Like, give me a world completely unlike ours with like different rules about how the society behaves and like
this. Oh, Gary, is right up my alley. I know exactly how you feel about the way magic society should work.
Oh man, you know that episode never aired.
Are you serious?
It's now on my dead laptop, so I don't think I can do anything with it, unfortunately. I might have it on Zencastr.
Gary.
But I have not put that one up. I was not. Ah. That was I'm afraid to listen back to it.
It's a good episode, I think.
Okay. We'll see. Maybe I'll do that one soon. But yeah, so that's Bone Shard Daughter. Very excited for this one out today. Go check it out. It might be one of our featured Fantastic First picks coming up, because we had three competing books for this month, but I think we're going to try and push to promote that. So keep an eye out on our social media. If that becomes a thing, we'll be offering discounts for anyone who's part of our Fantastic First program.
Yes.
Yeah. What's your next one?
Also in the line of sort of like magical world building, the next book I'm going to be talking about has a lot to do with a magical world falling apart.
Oh.
The book Master of Poisons by Andrea Hairston or Andrea. It's Andrea or Andrea. I'm not sure. I apologize. Sure. This novel is it's a weaving of African folktale and post-colonial literature. It's very much about, you know, like the land has become poisoned and the water has turned foul. And if you get stuck in a sandstorm, it's certain death. And magic exists, but it's very hard to find a strong source of it.
Yeah.
There are two main characters discussed in the description. There is Yola, who is a spymaster for the Lord of the Arkesian Empire. And he has adopted this land as his home and is desperately trying to save it as it falls apart in front of him. And the other character discussed is Awa, and she is a young woman training to become a powerful griot, which I'm assuming is like a magic user in this in this world. And
a griot, I just quick Google search says, a member of a class of traveling poets, musicians, and storytellers who maintain a tradition of oral history in parts of West Africa.
Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah. And it says that she comes into her own in a world of sorcery, floating cities, kindly beasts, and uncertain men.
Ooh.
Yeah.
This sounds fun.
I'm really excited about it. Like, we've talked a little bit about how, like, I don't read a lot of fantasy because a lot of fantasy is very, like, a lot of the great quote-unquote fantasy is very Eurocentric.
100%.
And I want to learn about other types of magics in the world. And
yeah,
I love that.
Totally.
I love that she's discussing, like, African folklore in this piece. Like,
this
seems
gonna
be
great.
Really cool.
It reminds me of, I think we talked about it briefly, Rage of Dragons by Evan Winters is also a very good, like, Afrocentric fantasy. Actually, when we had our event with Jen Lyons, she talked about the reason that most of the world in her series, Chorus of Dragons, are very distinctly not white Eurocentric places, because she is tired of reading stories like that. So hers is also very, like, dark skinned, different kinds of culture outside of that like Eurocentric view that we get in most like epic fantasy, quote unquote.
Yeah.
So rad. This sounds really, really cool.
I am super excited to pick it up. And yeah. What is your next one?
My next one is a little middle grade book that looks adorable called Lights on Wonder Rock. It's described as E.T. meets the Giving Tree.
Ah!
Heather wants more than anything to go to outer space, where the stars sparkle with magic and wonder. But when a UFO lands behind her house and she meets a friendly alien, it seems that all of her dreams have come true. But soon her friend has to return home. Will the spaceship ever come back for her? And if it does, is Heather ready to leave everything on Earth behind?
Oh my god,
it just sounds super cute. It looks super cute. It talks about how he's a picture book creator, David Litchfield is, and yeah. So he uses a lot of like graphic novel style layouts, it says in his in this book. So this sounds fun. I guess it's like written and illustrated by him, which is cool.
I'm familiar with his work, so I'm super into this.
Got
also
it.
I absolutely support this child being like, goodbye Earth, I am leaving before you explode.
Yep. Take me away, aliens. It's like the beginning of Independence Day, where there's all those people on top of the building with signs being like, take me with you in New York.
Literally,
before everyone gets demolished. It's a sad
what you gotta outcome. Do is not look desperate to the aliens. You gotta just be like super casual, like, yeah, you can take me, I guess. It's whatever.
Fantastic.
My last book that I want to talk about is also like a YA. It's not necessarily a middle grade. I think it is because it's for like age range 13, you know, eighth grade. So
okay. Yeah.
It's called Charming as a Verb. It is a YA coming of age sort of like rom-com.
This cover's great.
Yes.
I'd watch this TV show.
Something I'm really into about it after like reading about the book is that it's very much like it feels like it took this like stereotypical sort of like I want to change my image and like turned it on its head, because Henry is the main character. He's super charming, he's a star debater, he's popular, he has his like, you know, dog walking thing that he does in a wealthy part of New York City, and everybody loves him except for his next door neighbor, Corrine Troy. And she finds out that there's something not so honest about Henry's dog walking scheme, and she blackmails him into like helping her change her image at school. And the cool thing is that Henry is a first generation Haitian. And I feel like we've seen like this sort of like turned around the other way, where like the like American born character like helps the person from somewhere else like fit in, and like I like that he's like the one that's super cool and she's like described as super intense and not very cool, and so Henry agrees to this blackmail, seeing it as a potential upside for himself, and what starts as a mutual hustle turns into something more.
Ooh, this sounds cute.
Yes, and the cover is so cute.
I love the cover. The cover is so great.
And I just love the whole vibe. Like, you can tell that, like, he's, like, super cool, super chill, and she's, like, a little nerdy.
Uh-huh. Totally. I dig it.
Those are all... Oh, my God, we've only been here for 16 minutes?
I still have one left.
And then that makes so much more.
For reading.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
Short episode. I told you when we have only a couple of events, it goes quick. My last one that I'm going to shout out is called The Memory of Babel. It's book 3 of the Mere Visitor Quartet by Christelle Dabos, translated by Hildegard Searle. I'm not sure what language it's originally written in. She lives in Belgium. Her debut novel, Winter's Promise, the first in the series, won a novel competition in France. It was named Best Book of the Year by critics and publications in the U.S., including Entertainment Weekly, Publishers Weekly, Chicago Review of Books, etc. I actually, so because this is the third one in the series, I read the description while we were getting ready and realized that I don't know anything about this world. So I'm actually going to read a little piece of the first book, Winter Promise's description. It says, long ago, following a cataclysm called the Rupture, the world was shattered into many floating celestial islands, now known as Arks. Over each, the spirit of an omnipotent and immortal ancestor abides. The inhabitants of these arcs each possess a unique power. Ophelia, our main character, has an ability to read the pasts of objects and can also travel through mirrors.
Bro.
Yeah. So this is the third one in that series. She has now, it says that after 2 years and 7 months biding her time on Anima, her home arc, it's finally time to act and put to what she discovered, my guess is in one of the last books, in the Book of Farouk to use. Under an assumed identity, she travels to Babel, a cosmopolitan and thoroughly modern arc that is the jewel of the universe. Will her talent as a reader suffice to avoid being lured into a deadly trap by her ever more fearful adversaries? Will she ever see Thorn, her betrothed, again?
So it sounds to me like between the first book and this book that she do be getting real powerful.
Yeah, yeah. Everything I've read, all of the descriptions for all of these books sounds like she ends up on like a different arc, and it's just like political shenanigans and like her magical gift, especially being able to like learn the history of things by touching them, I think is a really fascinating, I guess I want to call it a power.
Yeah.
It's something that's manifested in a couple different stories that I've read in the past. Also, most notably in like Star Wars. But I think this sounds really, really cool. Ophelia sounds like a great character. I wonder what traveling through mirrors is like. Do you think it's like a
mirror? It must be terrifying.
Yeah, yeah. Is everything backwards? Like I don't, or is it just like a teleportation? Like thing, like she walks through a mirror here and walks out of a mirror somewhere else in the arc.
I don't know, but like I don't know if it's just because like I have always read a lot of like horror that's like looking in the mirror and like the reflection like does something else, like
oh, yeah.
It really scares me. Like
there was a Goosebumps book when I that was very scary. That was basically that. It was the mirror in like a closet or something that had like a light that you could flip.
Yeah.
Like a pull string light, and it would swap you with the mirror version of you. People would get trapped in the mirror. Terrifying. I hate
it. Or like the like mirror thing in Lock and Key. Like,
I haven't watched or read Lock and Key yet.
Oh, you are missing out. There's
I've heard it's really good. And that's Joe Hill, who's fantastic. We love him at the store, so.
Yeah.
Amazing. But yeah, so that's my last book.
What are you reading? Are you reading anything right now?
I'm still finishing up Memory of Souls. I'm taking more time going through it this time because it's my second time reading it. And I definitely feel like I talked about this when I first brought it up, I think last week. But I feel like I'm definitely getting a lot more out of it on this second read. I think rereading the first two books prior really like made a difference as well.
Yeah.
When I read it the first time, I got my hands on that arc and was like, I just need to read this right now.
So I am not reading anything at the moment outside of like academic work.
Yeah.
But I just got a confirmation like a day or two ago that I may or may not have gotten my hands on one of the special blue versions. Ooh. Of the Thrawn Ascendancy.
I still need to buy my copy.
Oh yes. You're gonna miss out, Gary. You gotta buy it.
I know, I need to, but also, like, I'm probably going to listen to that audiobook because Mark Thompson's the narrator and he's a god.
That is totally fair. But I got confirmation that it's ready for me to pick up at the store.
Amazing.
So
great.
I'm going to go probably tomorrow and pick it up.
Yeah.
I'm pretty stoked.
We'll have to talk about that because I'm probably going to start reading it. Oh, I don't know. I don't know, actually. It's probably going to be a couple weeks before I start it. So we'll maybe talk about it on here at some point.
I'm just excited because, like I've said before on here, like I haven't read any Thrawn books yet.
Yeah, so I'm very excited.
I feel like it'll be perfect. Like, you know me, I like to sympathize with my bad guys.
I really hope. I think because it's immersed in the Chiss Ascendancy, I think that they'll, and because it's a prequel, I think that they'll do a really good job of like explaining a lot of the like the Chiss cultural stuff, because that's only come up sort of like tangentially in some of the other books. One of my favorite little bits of Chiss lore that I think is really fun is that, like, kids are really strong in the Force, but adults aren't so much. They tend to lose that gift. So children are the navigators of Chiss ships, and they just jump into hyperspace, and these kids use the Force to, like, steer their ships around, like, black holes and other stars and planets and things, like, through the Force. And those kids are called Skywalkers. So in small spoilers for Thrawn alliances, but when he meets Anakin Skywalker for the first time, he's like, oh, like, you probably also have this skill. Like, you're strong enough in the Force that I believe that you could do this. And they do at one point in that book jump to hyperspace and let Anakin, like, navigate via the Force. And it's dope.
Holy shit.
It's so cool. Very, very excited. I would also like to know, I'm very curious to find out if Thrawn used to be one of these Skywalkers. If he had the Force.
The thing that I'm really curious about is, like, I know that, like, Thrawn is, like, basically, like, known, like, for being very, like, reserved, very stoic, not emotional at all. And I'm so excited to see if there's, like, a point, since this is, like, earlier parts of his life, like, if he's gonna have, like, emotional depth, and, like, if, like, we'll see, like, a reason for, like, why he learned to be so, like, one note and, like, reserved.
If I remember correctly, I think alliances also no, I think in Thrawn Treason, which is the most recent one from a couple years ago. Actually, just a year ago. I think it came out last Comic-Con. Thrawn Treason established some of the, like, social hierarchy. The Chiss Ascendancy is, like, a very rigid political system, and he's adopted into the noble house he's part of.
Oh, okay.
So I think it'll be definitely interesting to, like, explore a lot of that. I think he's also got, like, a brother in one of the books, which is fun. I don't know if he'll show up. There's good stuff. I love Thrawn.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, I'm so excited for this book. That was out last week, and we can just keep gushing. I know how that goes. So that'll probably be my next read. I'm also, like I said, I'm also partway into Bone Shard Daughter. I'm going to try and make some good progress and get a few chapters deeper before the next time we talk, so I can shout it out some more. But
hell yeah.
That's it, really. That's all I've been reading. It's just been Memory of Souls right now.
I have just been reading school about stuff. Art history.
Great.
And math.
No, thank you.
Yeah. All right, Gary. You want to get us out of here?
I think so. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And for following the show. Thank you, of course, to Austin Farmer for allowing us to use our spectacular intro and outro music. That's from the track Kill the Farm Boy on his album Bookshelf Symphony Orchestra. You can find a link for that to his Spotify in the description. Please go give it a listen. I think my favorite, outside of Kill the Farm Boy, I think my favorite track is the Dreadful Tale of Prosper Redding, because it's got a really
cool...
Oh, that
one's so good.
It's got such a cool, like, synthy...
Yeah. Like,
sci-fi-esque wave to it that I love. So check that out, please. You can find us, of course, on our website, mistgalaxy.com, or on any social medias at Mist Galaxy Books. That's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, all Mist Galaxy Books. Where can people find you, Becca?
They can find me on Twitter and Instagram now at Becca Bean, B-E-E-A-N. The only difference is on Twitter, it's just Becca Bean as that spelled like that. Mm-hmm. And, on Instagram, it's, the same spelling, just with an underscore at the end.
Got it. People can find me on Twitter at the Gary Roby. That's R-O-B-Y for my last name. Or you can find any of the other podcasts I do over at duelinggenre.com. We just finished up the Roxy fight in Scott Pilgrim Minute, and it was great. The next episode to come, actually, the episode that just came out this last weekend, by the time people are listening to this, is the very end, the climax of the Roxy fight. So that was fun and awkward to talk about.
I am so excited.
It's a good time. It was just me and my buddy Brian for these 2 weeks because Dueling Genre has another big project that's launching in October. So a lot of our other hosts are caught up in writing and producing that. But, you know, we'll all be back at some point to do that show together again, and it'll be great. What else? I think that's it.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. What's up? Go ahead.
No, that is it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought that we forgot something.
No, I think we got everything. We'll see you again soon in a galaxy not so far away.